Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Brilliant. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this historic moment. Something that you planned before the beginning of time, and we're just stepping into it tonight. Father, we thank you that you have plans and purposes for people's lives in this town that are more than we could ask or imagine. Father, we thank you for the faith, the love, and everything that we need. Not just to be a bunch of people that might meet weekly in a building, but with the people who carry and live with your heart for the many, many tens of thousands of people that live in Worthing. We thank you, Jesus, that we have this amazing privilege of serving you and giving our lives to honor you and to see your name lifted high, so that people don't talk about a church, but they talk about you. They talk about who you are, what an amazing God you are, what you've done and what you do, and that you do stuff that's impossible for men to sort out. So Father, that's the kind of church we want to be in this place, that in this town, that people talk about you, not about a bunch of people, but about you. We know we have to reflect you and we demonstrate who you are. But Father, let that be so that people say, isn't God amazing? Amen. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Just grab a seat for a minute. Just going to talk for a shorter time. Start as we believe, mean to go on. But you want to turn to John 3:16. A lot of people in here would know what that verse is. You see it at football stadiums, printed on massive banners sometimes, you know, for God so loved the world, and John 3:16 and all of that. But let's have a look at John 3:16 and see what I believe God wants to detonate, what he wants to say right at the beginning of the launch of this congregation here in Worthing. Remember what God has said to us as a church. We're here to see lives transformed, families reconciled. We're here to see household transform. We're here to see the town of Worthing being impacted by who God is, by the kingdom of God. Is that right? That's why we're coming to Worthing. We don't just want to be another church just doing some church things on a Sunday night or another. We're here to really see people's lives reached and transformed with the amazing power of the gospel, with the life of who Jesus is. That's why we're here. Is that right? So we want to take a few minutes and just look at God's heart and how he gave himself for you and I, for people, and just have a look at who he is and what it means. I'm reading from the Amplified version because it brings out some extra. Who reads the Amplified? Yeah, it brings out a little bit more than one or two of the other translations. So let's have a read. John 3:16. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he gave. God's love always gives. That's the nature of love. The nature of love isn't about what do I get, but the nature of love is to give. So the nature of God's love is, what do I need to do? This is in God's mind and heart, if I can paraphrase this in my own words for a minute. In God's heart and mind, what do I need to do to restore mankind back to relationship with me? What am I going to do about this problem? He already knew what he was going to do before the beginning of time, but trying to help us understand something. What am I going to do? Because I am love. That's my nature. That's who God is. He is love. He doesn't just have some love. He is love. Therefore, by very nature, he must love. By his very nature, he has to give of himself. He cannot help it. God has to give of himself. And the Bible clearly says that there. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he gave. He had to give something. And he gave up his one and only begotten Son, so that whoever believes, everybody say whoever. So whoever believes, God's not preferential in terms of who responds. He's saying whoever responds to this love, this amazing love that I'm extending by sending myself in the form of Jesus, whoever responds to that, I will respond to them. I will give myself to them. Maybe you are like this, but there are many people that are still like this, that they think that because they don't know God, or that God's not going to be interested in them, or that they've done so many things that God wouldn't like or agree with, that God could never forgive them or accept them. Whatever goes on in their lives, too much has happened to me in my life that God could never sort that out. Or God is angry with mankind because we've all turned away from him. Or, well, there isn't a God. And if there was one, he's not going to be interested in who I am. But yet the Bible says that God gave himself, even though as people we haven't deserved who he is. And I think that's the incredible nature of who God is, that before we've done anything, he has already done something. So if we read these verses, for God so loved Worthing that he gave his one and only begotten son. Jesus did something before any of us were around. He did something before any of us could respond to his goodness. Why? Because he is love, and that's the nature of his love. Let's have a look. What did he do? We'll come to that in a few moments. Let's have a look what it says. He gave his one and only son that whoever believes. Now the word believes there means whoever trusts in him or clings to him or relies on him. Anybody that responds to him, they trust, they cling and they rely to him, shall not perish or shall not be destroyed, it says here, or be lost, but they will have eternal, everlasting life. Wow. For God did not send his son into the world or to Worthing in order to judge. I love this. This is amazing. This blows our minds about how we think God is or who we think God is. He said God didn't send his son to the world or to Worthing or to Horsham or Crawley or East Grinstead or Guildford or wherever we're from, Brighton or wherever, another nation. He didn't send him to judge, which means to reject or condemn or pass sentence on, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him, may be forgiven and restored to him. I think God's awesome, don't you? Yeah. That Jesus didn't come to judge, but he came to forgive. He didn't come to judge, condemn, destroy, put down, but he came to restore. He didn't come to rebuke and criticize and condemn. He came to save, heal, give hope and a future. The purpose as to why we're alive. That's why God came. That's his heart. That's his nature. He who believes in him, verse 18, he who clings to him or trusts in him or relies on him is not judged. Wow. So if we respond to his amazing goodness, then we're not under judgment. We don't come under that, the Bible says. He who trusts in him never comes up for judgment. For him there is no rejection. For you and I, there's no rejection, no condemnation. He incurs, listen to this, no damnation. Wow, these are big words, aren't they? Rejection, condemnation, damnation. What does it mean? God did not want any person on the planet, past, present or future, to be separated from him, to be condemned, destroyed, or spend an eternity without him, which is damnation according to the Bible. That's his heart. So when we respond to him, it says we come out from judgment. We come out from condemnation. We come out from separation, and we come under his incredible love, yes, and into an amazing relationship of love with him. That's what God wants for every person, you and I, every person that's not here, that's in doing whatever they're doing tonight in this building or the rest of Worthing. This is God's heart for every person. But 99% of people don't realize that. They don't realize that that is God's heart for them. Most people think, well, God's just a God of judgment, therefore he wants to judge them, criticize them, put them down. God is a God of judgment. And one day we will all face God and have to give an account for our lives. But that's judgment day. That's not now. And God's heart for us is such that he says, I have done something for every person so that they never have to face judgment that leads to eternal separation from me. I have already done something that has made it possible for every person to come into this amazing love that I have already demonstrated by going to the cross 2,000 years ago to destroy everything that was trying to destroy you. And that he's out there now destroying people's lives where they don't know Jesus. Most people don't realize that. They don't realize, because for some, their life, they probably feel some of it's going good, it's going well. Maybe others, they feel like they're in hell already on earth because of what's happening in them and to them in their lives. But people don't realize that it's not about the outward and what we have. It's about the state of our heart and our soul before God. And God knows that we all need to respond to his goodness. And he's made it possible for that to take place. He incurs no condemnation, no damnation for those who have responded. So the Bible talks about a gap. There's us, there's God, there's this gap of separation. Jesus filled that gap and opened up the way. So instead of us living under judgment and condemnation, it's possible to come into forgiveness and freedom and life. When people don't know God, what is it saying here? Because God wants to change this in people's lives. It then says, but he who does not believe, he who hasn't responded or cleaves to God or relies on him or trusts in him, is judged already. This is not good news, right? He has already been convicted and has already received his sentence because he has not believed and has not trusted in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He is condemned for refusing to let his true trust in Christ's name. That's the state of your life when you don't know God. You are under judgment, condemnation. But God never, ever intended anybody ever to live under that. Separated from him. So when he created man to be in harmony, in perfect relationship, to be in fellowship with God. But because man chose to do his own thing, that separated man from God. And there was this separation, and God said, I can't leave it like that, because I am love. I've got to do something that restores, reconciles man back to God, so that man doesn't have to live under judgment, condemnation in eternity without me. So I'm going to myself come down to earth, hang on a cross, take all the judgment, condemnation, and everything that they're living under. I'm going to take that on myself, so that every person can know forgiveness, wholeness, eternal life, relationship with God, peace, acceptance, forgiveness, healing, reconciliation. Wow. Why? Because God is love. He cannot leave it as it was, and he didn't, and he had to do something. So it's possible, and many of us in this room have already responded to the amazing goodness of God and have crossed over from death to life. See, everybody's alive here in the physical, but not everybody's alive here spiritually. And our physical life has 60, 70, 80, maybe 90 years, and then we die. And then there's the rest of eternity. Where are we going to spend it? Where we spend eternity is decided by us on earth now. God doesn't decide where any man or woman or person ever spends eternity. That decision is made by us on earth. He's made it possible to have eternity with him forever. But we make that decision here. Some people say, why does God send some people to heaven and some people to hell? He doesn't. That decision is made by us here on earth. So when we stand before God, he says, what did you do with the life that I gave you? And I said, well, I did this, I did that and the other. He said, well, the thing is, you responded to me. That's brilliant. Eternity with me. But if you never responded to me, my goodness, and what I've done for you to make it possible to be reconciled to me, because that was my heart for you, because I am love. I had to give myself so that you could be reconciled, but you never responded to my goodness. Therefore, you've made that decision. There's already separation here, so there will be separation for eternity. Man, I would never ever want to be separated from God. Why are we bringing this message tonight? Because there's a lot of people out there that need to know Jesus. Maybe it's not a popular message. Maybe some of it's not politically correct these days. Maybe people want to make the gospel acceptable to people. But you can't make the gospel acceptable to people. The gospel makes people acceptable to God. That's the only way it works. And when you respond to God's goodness, it's amazing what happens in your life. The peace. The resolution that goes on, the turmoil that is dealt with. Does it mean you don't have any problems? No, you still have the stuff of life to walk through and deal with. But man, you look at it completely differently when God's in your life and He's walking with you through those things. Not just in them, but through them. Because God will always take you on the other side. God heals the scars. Doesn't leave the marks of history or your life left all over you. And you live in the consequence of that. God, at this moment when you respond to Him, removes the scars, the hurts, the pains, even the memories. He can even do that, deal with some of the memories that have scarred people's minds because of what has happened to them. What an amazing God. What an amazing love. It's unfailing, everlasting. We'll never ever let you down. For God so loved the world, for God so loved Worthing, that He gave. That's God's heart, to give and 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 just keep giving, to give, to give, to give. That's who He is. He cannot help it. It's His nature. He has to give because He is love. You know, when you love somebody, what do? You just want to give to them. You want to bless them. Encourage them. Buy them stuff. Treat them. Surprise them. Why? Because you love them. You want the best for them. Also, when you love somebody, sometimes you have to say, hang on a minute, there's some stuff we've got to talk through. God's love is not unconditional. You don't find that in the Bible anywhere. God's love has loads of conditions. You have to just read various things. If God's love was unconditional, then he would say to people, come to me however you are, that's no problem, and you can stay as you are for the rest of your life. I'll still love you anyway. That's not what God's love demonstrates. Because He is love, He says, I can't leave you as you are. Because as you are, if you don't know me, you're unacceptable to me. So I've got to do something to make you acceptable so that you can come into a relationship of love with me and know me in my love. Wow. So God doesn't leave any of us where we were. Otherwise, we wouldn't need the cross if God's love was unconditional. You wouldn't need the cross. You wouldn't need forgiveness. Jesus wouldn't have had to have gone through what He went through if God's love was unconditional. Why would He need a cross if it's like, well, I love you anyway. No matter what you do, that's fine. Do whatever you like, and you can spend the rest of eternity with me. That's not God's love. That's not the Bible. That's not what Jesus did. But the Bible says, because He is love, and because He loved the world, because He loved the world, He said, I can't leave it as it is. So I've got to do something to change it, to make it possible for people to now become acceptable to me. It's all on God's terms. And that's some of the challenge about the Christian message. Because there's a very strong culture in our society that you have to please yourself. Can't be upset or offended. We've got to be politically correct. We've got to be very careful what we say. You can't upset anybody, offend anybody. You know, all those sort of things, because it pampers to us, me, I. Well, that's upset me. I don't like this. Well, man, the gospel basically says, without God, we're unacceptable to Him. That's a tough message. But the good news is, He's made a way out so that we can be made acceptable. And he doesn't do it because he's a God of judgment, saying, well, he is, in the sense he judged sin. But because he is a God of love, a God of mercy, grace and love, he had to do something to reconcile us back to him. And there are 105,000, 110,000 Worthingites. Some of you are those Worthingites, you know, who are living out there who don't know Jesus. And they need to encounter a people of mercy, grace and love. They don't need a bunch of people who are going to judge, criticize, condemn, put them down, because God never treated us like that, and we can't treat others like that. Jesus even said, I've not come to judge. He said that's the Father's job. He said, well, I've come to serve, not to be served but to serve. That's the heart of Jesus. I think it's amazing. So we're here in Worthing with a heart to love, to demonstrate God's incredible mercy. What is mercy? That's God letting us off. It's God letting us off. We're guilty, but God says, I'll let you off. But he only lets us off because Jesus has done something, and Jesus paid the price. So when we come to know God, we're saying, God, I give you my life, all the stuff that I've done wrong, every sin, everything that's gone against you, I ask you to forgive me, I ask you to clean me up. I turn away, I surrender, I submit my life to you, and I recognize I need you in my life. I recognize I've been created to know you, and I want you to come in, and I give you my life as you give me yours. And you step into a relationship of love. How can you know somebody in love unless you have a relationship with them? Amazing. And because he is love, he's made it possible for us to come into that amazing, amazing love. Acts 10, verse 38 says, Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, when he described Jesus as a man who went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And then it says, because God was with him. God's with you, you and I. When you know God, God's with you. But it says there that he was a man, just like you and me, just like us. He was God in human form, but yet he was also fully man. He faced the same challenges, same temptations. He was weak in every way, just as we are, because he was fully man. But yet he surrendered, saying, Father, I can't do anything unless I see you do it. I can't say anything unless I hear you saying it. But it says he was a man who went around doing good. The word doing good there means everything from blessing somebody and encouraging them and meeting a practical need through to healing the sick and seeing people set free. That's what doing good means. It's not just, you know, helping somebody cross the road or buying a bit of shopping for them, you know, that's doing good. Well, Jesus, did he really do that? I don't know, he might have done. But the word doing good there is everything from something really practical to something supernatural. Wow. And he calls us to be those kind of people, that were a people just like Jesus. Because he's not here now, he's in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. And he says, I give you my Holy Spirit because I want to multiply myself in you to accelerate everything that God wants to do, the Father wants to do on earth. So he gives us himself in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we're men and women just like him who are going around doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. It doesn't mean we've got one up on anybody or anything, or we're better than you. We're not soapbox Christians. We're coming like Jesus to serve and to show what God is really like. People are living under enough condemnation, enough fear, enough guilt and pain and division. The stuff that people have been through and going through, what they're living in, they live under enough of that, and they don't need a bunch of Christians turning up saying, told you so, we're right, you're wrong. That's not the kind of Christians. Jesus didn't come and do that. He gave the religious people a tough time, but to the others, he came to demonstrate the heart of the Father, mercy, grace, and love. But with that, you know, with that amazing message, he said, you're forgiven, but leave that life. I forgive you, but leave that life and come into a new one. So it's not just a message of mercy where we're just nice to everybody, but it's a message of mercy that leads to a transformed life. It means a change of life. And the challenge for us is the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. So it's not just, let's go and reach loads of people. We've got to reach people and see them come into the kingdom and begin to disciple them so they become everything that God has created and destined them to be. Many of us in this room, we already know Jesus. For some, maybe for many, many years. And in this room, there's a wealth of relationship with God, experience with God, stories of what God's done in your own life, your own testimony. Incredible, whatever God's done in your life. You might have grown up in a Christian home, you might have had the worst upbringing you've heard of, but every testimony is valid, every story is valid. And there are people out there that need to hear your story, and God can lead you to them to hear the particular story that you've been through that might relate exactly into their life. That's why your life matters, and every one of our lives matter in this thing. And there are people out there that need to hear your story of what God has done, is doing, and is continuing to do. Because people need to know out there, does this Christianity thing work? This Jesus thing, does it work? And sometimes, you know, if you've been a Christian for many years, that's just as valid as somebody who's just got saved out of drug, sex, rock and roll or whatever. And it's like, wow, what a story, that's amazing, you know. Because you can sit and think, well, I grew up in a Christian home. What does that mean? Actually, what that shows people is, being a Christian works. In the challenge of our culture and our society, the pressures to conform, to be like this, to live like that, and to have a belief system like whatever, to actually be able to say, hey, God works. Having God in your life works. This thing I'm talking about, it works. And people need to... There's a phone call on my phone there from somebody. They need to know this thing works. Let's pray, shall we? Because God wants to do some stuff right now. There's people that God wants to heal, yes, sort out, and everything. So you ready? Let's stand. And let's thank God, first of all, for the amazing, amazing love that he's shown to each one of us. Just thank him. Think about your own life and story for a minute. And just thank him. He's got you out of some stuff, hasn't he? He's got you out of trouble a few times, as well as saving you. He's also got you out of a few other issues you got yourself into. And you can just say, God, how amazingly faithful you are. You never let up on me. You never give up on me. You're so faithful. You're so amazing. You're so brilliant. You never, ever let me down. You're like a rock that I stand upon. And when I stand on you, I never slip, because you're not seaweed on a rock. It's like I'm rooted in you, established in you. Thank you, Jesus. No matter where I go, you're already there. Other side of the world, you're there. To the depths, you're there. To the heights, you're there. Even when I make my bed, you're there. Even when I'm on the heights, you're there. Doesn't matter where I go, you're already there. How he encompasses us with himself. Incredible. Thank you, Jesus. Just thank him now. Thank you, Jesus. There might be some of you here tonight, and you don't know Jesus. You've never met him before. And you're like, wow, is God really like that? Yeah, he is. He is just like that. That's how the Bible describes who God is. And you can respond to his amazing grace, his amazing mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is God letting us off, not treating us as we deserve. So mercy is God doesn't treat us according to what we deserve. What is his grace? His grace is then God giving us everything that we don't deserve. So mercy is God's forgiveness, letting us off and saying, I'm going to wipe the slate clean as you respond to me. And then his grace is, I'm going to give you myself. I'm going to give you everything of who I am. How amazing is he? That's his love, expressed in mercy and in grace. And you can respond to him this evening, wherever you are, especially if you don't know him tonight. You might want to ask some more questions. You might want to find out a bit more. You might want to chat to some of us. It's like, well, I've never come across this sort of thing before. I've never, You might have a few more questions, that's great. But you also might be ready in your heart and say, God, I want to know you. I don't get it, I don't understand it all, but inside me, everything's going off at this moment. It's like, this is it. And you can just talk to God like the rest of us are right now and just say, God, I don't know you, but somehow standing here, I know you're real. And there's something in this room that is alive in a way I've never come across. That feeling or whatever is God in the place, God's presence. Maybe you just need to say, God, I don't want to live separated from you anymore. I want to respond to your amazing love. God, I need your mercy because I don't deserve you. If this is in your heart, if you want to talk to God and respond to him tonight for the first time, or maybe you've walked with God and gone away and done your own thing for a bit, you can talk to God. Just even if you have to whisper, but mouth the words, put some words to what's in your heart and your head at the moment. God, I don't deserve you, but I thank you for what you've done for me. And I want to give my life to you and take that first step this evening. But I know I need to be forgiven because I've stuffed up. And I ask you to forgive me for living separated from you, for doing my own thing, for stuffing up. And I ask you to forgive me. But God, I want to know your goodness. I want you to give me your life tonight. And in response, I want to give you mine. I don't want to do life on my own anymore. I don't want to do it in my own efforts. I want to know you. And Jesus, I want this to be for the rest of my days. I don't want it just to be a quick fix for something. I choose to give you my life for the rest of my days on earth. That you would be Lord. You would be number one. You would be in charge of my life. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And some of you might have prayed that, responded in some way in your heart, put some words to that tonight. And it's the first step towards God, to take a step from what the Bible talks about, darkness, that's not knowing God, into light, because the Bible says God is light. From coming out of relationship into the beginning of a whole new relationship with him. There's a number of us that are here. I'm here. Jonathan, Pastor Jonathan, who's just been leading the meeting, he's here. A number of others at the front. We'd love to chat with you. You might have come with a friend or a family member that's brought you tonight, and maybe you can chat with them or just get them to bring you up, and we'd love to talk with you, just help you how to really connect with God in a life-transforming way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for your healing grace right now as well in people's bodies. I thank you that you just touch people all over the room right now in their physical bodies. Hey, guys, just by faith now, just take hold of what is yours. For God so loved the world that he gave. God's giving right now. He's giving healing into your body. Some of it might be physical. Some of it could be mental. Some of it could be emotional. Whatever it might be, Father, I thank you for your healing power touching people's bodies right now, setting them free from sickness, from ailments, from illness, from cycles of sickness. Father, I thank you that you touch people's bodies right now. Whatever it is, just reach out and say, Father, I thank you for my healing right now. Aches and pains leaving people's bodies. Somebody in the ball of your foot. You've had an issue right there. I don't know what happened. Something, I think you trod on something a while back and something penetrated or pierced the ball of your foot, and it's been quite painful and never healed properly, and it's caused you quite a lot of problems, and you've had to wear kind of soft-soled shoes as a result, and God's just healing that right now. What's the damage on the inside, the scar tissue damage, He's healing that now, so you're not going to have any pain. It's in your right foot, your right ball joint there. God's healing you right now. No more stress, no more hassle there. You're going to be able to run and jump and do some exercise, things you haven't been able to do for a while. It might seem a little thing to the rest of us, but it's been a big thing in your life, because it's just been, it's like you walk with a limp. That's what it's felt like, and God's just dealing with that now. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody else in your right groin, you've had a groin strain, a muscle issue in there, and God's just touching that now and sorting that. So again, freedom of movement in your body. Father, I thank you that you're healing people, you're touching things right now. Somebody in their ear, left ear, you've had, when it rings, what's that called? Tinnitus, that's the one. I was going to put tinnitus, but tinnitus. In your left ear, you've had a ringing in your ear, and it's not because of the music tonight, it's been something that's happening for a while. But God's just dealing with that now. You realize the ringing stopped. The ringing's gone. And God's restoring what has been damaged in your ear. Thank you, Jesus. There are little hairs in your ear that when they get damaged, they fall flat and they never recover. Well, it's like God's doing a recovery on the hairs in your ear that actually help to filter frequencies and what you hear. So, Father, I thank you for your healing grace in that left ear now. Thank you. Somebody under their shoulder blade, their left shoulder blade in their back, you damaged your shoulder and the top of your back with another injury thing, and your left shoulder blade and underneath has never really fully recovered, and God's healing you. You can feel a heat right now in your left shoulder. If that's you, lift both your hands in the air. Father, I thank you for your healing grace, your healing touch in their body right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you know you've got something physical going on in your body, let all stand together. Just turn to people around you. Stick your hand in the air. If you know you've got some physical ailment that you need to be healed from, just put your hand in the air and then have a look around those you're around, and then I want you to pray for them, okay? Ready? Go. Let's go. Let's activate some things in the place. Somebody go and pray for Pete. You don't have to pray long prayers, but just take authority. Ask them what it is. And then say, hey, God wants to heal you right now. Thank you, Jesus, for that healing touch in people's bodies. We praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Just keep it short. Keep it simple. Ask them how they're doing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you. You're dealing with fears right now. Fears of getting sickness. Somebody here, you've had a fear. You've had a sickness in your family, and you've thought, I don't want to get that. Just, you're not going to get it. Because that's not hereditary when you know God. So that fear is broken right now. You're not going to get that physical thing. I don't know if it's cancer, but you're not going to get whatever it is, okay? Because that family thing that's gone down the family is broken right now in Jesus' name. So live free from that fear. You've got a healthy body. He is your health and your wholeness. Amen? Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Are you ready to give to the Lord? Ready? I know some of you are at Horsham this morning, and Crawley, you might have tithed and given your offering already. If you're part of the congregation here, week in, week out, this is your opportunity to tithe and to give. If we're kind of helping to be here tonight to launch it, let's give, all right, and sow something into Worthing. If you want to give something and you haven't got anything, turn to somebody next to, hey, can you give me 50p? Can you give me a quid or whatever? Maybe ask them for something, even if it's 5p. Let's all put something in the offering, okay? Even if it's somebody else's money next to you, they won't mind if you want to give a bit of their money. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Let's be generous as we give. If you've got your own money, give that. Don't just say, oh, well, I'll give somebody else's instead. Maybe turn around and say, hey, I've got some money. Do you want to give something as well and help them give if they haven't got anything to give tonight? Are you ready? Come on, let's praise God. Let's celebrate. Let's rejoice. Let's release something over worthy. Come on, guys, let's praise Him.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.